Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Thank you, Chicago. From the bottom of my heart, thank you.
On Tuesday, Chicago voters elected Lori Lightfoot to be their next mayor. She'll be the first African-American woman to serve as Chicago's mayor, as well as the city's first openly gay mayor. Lightfoot defeated her opponent, Tony Preckwinkle, by a commanding margin, winning nearly three-quarters of the city's votes. And while both women represented a progressive wing of the Democratic Party, the runoff campaign between them still got pretty heated.
Let me finish.
Fine.
It's really
I'm
going
to let you lie, and then I'll respond.
You know, I'm not accusing you of lying.
No, you are lying.
I think there's no lie that you clearly will not tell.
It is sad and pathetic.
That was Lightfoot and Preckwinkle speaking over each other during a March debate. Now that the election is settled, Lightfoot faces the not-so-small task of governing the third largest city in the United States. Joining me now to discuss some of the key issues that she'll need to address once she assumes office is Dan Mialopoulos, a political reporter for WBEZ. Dan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi.
So these two candidates agreed on a lot of issues, but what was it that tipped the scales for Lightfoot? I mean, she had a landslide victory here.
I think what tipped the scales for her, ironically, is that she is not a political boss. She is not a familiar face. And there's a very strong throw out the bums mood among the electorate here, particularly after the latest corruption scandal that resulted in charges against the longest serving member of the city council. And that member of the city council was accused of trying to shake down a businessman to give a campaign contribution to Tony Preckwinkle. So the timing of that was spectacularly good for Lori Lightfoot. And she sold herself very effectively as an agent of change because she's never run for office before.
Of course, it's no secret to a lot of us that Chicago's political system has been riddled with corruption in the past. Are voters expecting that Lightfoot will be actually able to change that?
That's what she's promising, certainly, in her victory speech last night. Lori Lightfoot actually addressed, without naming that alderman who's been charged, Ed Burke, she actually addressed this topic and she said, you know, we're going to end this endless cycle of corruption scandals and we're going to end the self-dealing where you have politicians who are profiting from the public trust.
Now, that seems like a great message. Does Lightfoot have the political support to actually do that, given that she is not, as you said earlier, seeped in the sort of the Chicago politics world?
You know, the more cynical among us or skeptical, I guess, at this point, who want to be shown real reform, always joke that reform means, you know, my guy or my girl now can take over and be the one that enjoys the spoils of victory. That's their idea of reform in many cases is just putting a different person in there doing the same thing. I think the real test, though, for someone like Lori Lightfoot is how much does she tolerate this sort of behavior by people that she needs to form a coalition to pass budgets and other parts of her agenda. Because a lot of times I think, you know, Rahm Emanuel came in, he's the mayor who's not running for re-election this year after two terms. And Rahm Emanuel himself, I don't think, was engaged in any sort of malfeasance, but he certainly made alliances with people like Ed Burke, who ended up in trouble.
We also know that the Chicago Police Department has been under intense scrutiny. Lightfoot was previously the head of the Chicago Police Board. What does that tell us about what her relationship will be with the police department?
There's a good question there about how she can do what she promised again last night and during the campaign, which is bridge this massive gulf that has emerged between the Chicago Police Department, the CPD, and the people that they are, you know, supposedly there to serve and protect, many of whom feel that the police has been able to operate with impunity and without accountability. She says that she will bring accountability, but I think she had a bit of a mixed record on the police board. There are a lot of activists for police reform who feel that she was maybe a little bit too much on the side of the police, but the gulf is tremendous there.
You investigated both of the campaigns and you found some campaign fund questions. Give us a sense of what those were.
In the case of Lightfoot, we looked at a dark money political action committee that formed. It's just a nonprofit that formed all of a sudden by one of her friends around the time that she started running for mayor. And that group gave her $40,000, which at that point she was underfunded, had very few supporters in the political establishment. And I think it gave her a big boost. We don't know where that money came from. It's one of these dark money groups that doesn't have to disclose the sources of its funding. And a lot of people, including her opponent, Tony Preckwinkle, thought, you know, that's kind of hypocritical for someone who's a progressive candidate, somebody whose campaign slogan was bring in the light.
Another issue facing Chicago is a pension crisis. If you're not in Chicago, if you're outside of Illinois, what should we know about this? And also, does Lightfoot have a plan?
It's really bad, this problem. It depends how you want to measure it, but the unfunded liabilities are in the tens of billions of dollars in a city where the budget, the operating budget, is maybe $8 or $9 billion a year. So she's going to have to come up with a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars within a few months, either by obviously raising revenue or cutting somewhere. At the end of the day, though, I didn't hear anything about that problem in her election night victory speech and didn't hear too much about it during the campaign.
Dan Mialopoulos is a political reporter for WBEZ. Thank you, Dan.
My pleasure.